Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, we are in the middle of the series called Greater. And we're going to continue this on Mother's Day because I kind of figured this is pretty fitting, right? I think many of us have become greater because of our moms. Whether it's a good thing that they pushed us, or whether it's something, man, we knew this. For some of us, maybe we had a mom's relationship that wasn't the greatest, but it still made us greater. I think many of us, though, we've been blessed with moms who've pushed us, who've grown us, and made us greater in our lives. And this is what this series is really all about. And what we're doing is we're talking about how God's called us to be greater. In fact, even in John 14, 12, it states this. It says, "I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me will do the same things that I do. Those who believe will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." In this passage of Scripture, here's Jesus talking to us. And really, he's given this word of encouragement, and he's saying that we can go and we can become greater through him. And I think he's challenging us to do that. And as we talk through greater in this series, this is an exciting series because really, we get to kind of live it out. Obviously, we're trying to push people, and we're encouraging you to live this out individually. But also, as a church, we kind of talked through this last week as we started talking about how we're going to live this out as a church as well. So I do, before we jump into our special message today, I did want to give you just a quick update on the big announcement that we said last week. If you were here from last week, you remember that we made the announcement that we are going to be acquiring a church of our own. See, what we do is we stop in here and we pop up shop here on a Sunday morning, and then we shut down. We get this just for Sunday, and it's kind of a pop-up shop thing. But what we're going to do is we're going to get a permanent building out on Marion Road. So we made that big announcement last week, but I'm going to tell you, too, I kind of made it before, like, we actually had things locked and loaded. We were really close. But it's just one of those things of faith, like, I'm going to jump. We'll see. And good thing God showed up, because he always does. But we actually finalized the letter of intent on Tuesday, and now what is happening is it's a land contract, so it's going to the lawyers and everything else and all that kind of stuff. So the closing is still not locked and loaded. We don't have a final date on that yet, but we're looking at still probably at the end of May or June-ish. And we are actually in here. We have to stay. Our lease is actually renewed. We have to give a notice. So we're actually here until July 31st. So what we'll do is we'll probably move slowly. We may be over in that building early June, but we'll probably do some cleanup stuff here because everything you see here, we have to kind of take down and get it back to the way it looked exactly. So just want to give you a quick update of where we are on the church, and then also wanted to tell you, too, another way that we can experience greater is through baptisms on May 22nd. And again, this is an opportunity where we're seeing people who've made a decision for Jesus, who have allowed God to do greater things in their life. It's really that outward sign of the inward commitment they've made, and we're going to celebrate with them. So on May 22nd, we've got two people signed up right now, but we will take more. And what we do is we celebrate like crazy. So when somebody comes in the water, we dump them down, we bring them back up, and all they should be hearing is screaming. So you need to come back just to scream, if nothing else. And if you've never been baptized and you've made a decision to follow Jesus, email me, come talk to me afterwards, talk to somebody and say, hey, I want to do that. And we can get you baptized on May 22nd as well. So cool. So this week, though, is going to be a great week. It's going to be a little bit different because we're going to talk through greater with a family who's experienced a lot of different things. We're going to hear from our friends Katie and Adrian Liebes. So they can work their way up here, but just to show you how far back they go, Katie and Sarah, they were like best friends way back in Kiwanis softball. Like they call themselves the dynamic duo. So I think that's it. So let's give them just a warm welcome as they make their way up here. So Katie and Adrian. Cool. Hey, we didn't get a seat for Cooper. Can we get let's get a stool for Cooper if we can. So cool. So we're going to hear their story, and this is just a cool opportunity to kind of to go through that, because I think everybody has stories, and like God kind of works through things, and I think really we can relate with you in a bunch of different ways. So what we want to do is first is just maybe tell us a little bit about yourselves, maybe just simple, tell us how long you've been married, any story you have. Maybe tell us about your kids, which we see Cooper right now, so yep, that should be on and ready.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Thank you for having us today. This is Probably our first speaking engagement since New Revelations in our lives, but we have had the opportunity to speak before about our story at some fundraising events. So it's important for us to get the word out about our struggle, just because I know that there's a lot of other people going through similar things as well. excuse me. Adrian and I were married in 2006, and we had a ceremony at my childhood church and then a big party at Longaberger Golf Course. And as soon as the party ended, the question of when do kids get here started. So we knew that the pressure was on, but we also knew that we would do things in God's time. So we kind of left it up to that. And about 6 months later, probably, yeah, I found out I was pregnant. And in 2008, I delivered Cooper in February, and he was a healthy baby boy, and I wasn't, and we didn't know why. And so that's kind of where our journey begins. There in the hospital, my health declined pretty quickly, and I was receiving blood transfusions, and I was weak, and I just kept thinking to myself, if this is what this feels like, why do people do it more than once? I couldn't hold him. I was more tired than usual. So we went home, and they continued to monitor my progress with the blood transfusions, and I ended up on a course of iron infusions to try to boost all of my levels and get me normal, which were not working. So July... you were what? How old were you? 5 months old? Thereabouts. I received the diagnosis of stage 3B Hodgkin's lymphoma. And from there, it was kind of a tailspin on course of treatment and being a new mom and taking care of Cooper. And so we had a lot of decisions to make, not only as a newlywed couple, but as new parents. Sorry, I'm a little dry today. So from that point, my oncologist was very reassuring throughout the entire process. And she said, if you had to pick a cancer, you picked the right one, so let's get started. And that was reassuring because being a new mom, things began to be very bleak at that point. I started questioning the future.
So she wants me to take over, but I don't know where I'm going to take over from. So,
my treatment started then.
Yeah, her treatment started then. Kind of just take you back really quick. 8 years ago today, she actually, Mother's Day was a really weird time. I was in Puerto Rico for a funeral. She actually spent her first Mother's Day alone with Cooper at home on a rainy Sunday. So we were talking about that yesterday. So her treatment started in... She was diagnosed July 3rd. Treatment started really July 8th. She had her port placed in. July 11th is when her first round of chemo started. So we had roughly 6 weeks or 6 months?
6 months.
It was six months. So 6 months of treatment. We thought everything went really well.
Yeah, PET scans were clear at that point. And so they said, you know, we can take your port out and we can move on with life and things are great. You responded so well. But I never could breathe easy. I never had that, okay, let's move on from this. It seemed a little too easy, actually, and I remember saying that a lot. Like, this is too easy. I would sit at Licking at that time. It was one room, and you sat in a circle, and I would watch people failing. And here I was almost thriving through the treatment. And there was a lot of guilt that came with that. And so when it was over, I was kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop. But we went on, and things started looking good. And then I was a bridesmaid in a friend's wedding the following July, 2009. And I remember it was a strapless dress, and I still have my port in place to this day. But somebody approached me and said, when are you going to take that stupid thing out? you know, you can see it, and it's just in the way. You know, that's all behind you. Just get it out of you. Put it behind you. And I, you know, I had the conversation. It's almost a security blanket at this point, but, you know, we are considering it. I probably do need to move on. That following Tuesday, I relapsed. So then we started everything again. This time was different, though, because it was within a year. So there was harder chemo involved, and ultimately a stem cell transplant would have to be done. And I don't know if people are familiar, but basically you can have a donor or you can use your own. And I was able to use my own, which was a blessing. It's a little easier process. But with this, we also found out that we would not be able to have children with this process naturally. So we had to make a lot of tough decisions with fertility as well during that time.
Details is where I come in. So we, you know, we left that appointment. It was July again when she was re-diagnosed. So July is kind of a weird month for us. She was re-diagnosed. We went to meet with her oncologist. Again, they put her on a little bit rougher chemo this time. Every time she had the chemo, her numbers dropped significantly, so we couldn't continue on the chemo. So that's when we knew the stem cell transplant was going to have to happen. We went to Westerville to meet with the reproductive specialists, and we had 3 weeks to make a decision because when we met with them, she was in the perfect time of her cycle. There's moms here, so I'm okay to talk about that. So we, you know, we had 3 weeks from that time to make a decision. I think it was really only a week to decide if we were going to move forward. You know, we talked about it. We were there in the office. You know, we really said going into this we were happy just having Cooper, but then we decided we don't want something else to take the decision out of our hands. So we don't know down the line if we're going to want to have kids or what we're going to want to do. So we met with the reproductive specialist. Everything was great. Hey, you can collect from dad, collect from mom, keep those until later. And by the way, here's the number of how much it's going to cost. And I think it was upwards of $25,000 just to start. That doesn't include the hundreds of thousands of dollars in medications that we would have in our refrigerator later on that month. So we left the office kind of happy and defeated at the same time. So we had just exhausted all of the funds that we had on her treatment from the prior year. And oddly enough, we're driving home and we're on 161 and, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I have this much left on our credit cards. We can take a second mortgage out on the house. You know, Katie, I don't even know what phone you had at that point, but it was like a flip phone probably.
It's got to be the Sidekick.
Yeah, something. Somehow she found on the way home a program out of Cleveland.
It was actually the LiveStrong website. And I encourage everyone, this is my little plug. I'm generally if the doctor says it, it needs to be true. Well, I was. And if they're telling us that it's going to cost $25,000, then that's our only option. We needed to come up with it. We had already paid all those medical bills. We were both in college. You know, we were just going to have to figure it out because this was the only way. And if this isn't going to work, then it's not meant to happen. And that was my mindset. And so I don't know what happened that day. I think I just was so desperate that I jumped online and I came across the LiveStrong site. And scrolling through, there was a number to call that gave you help for services in your area. And it was very general, just for services in your area, call. So I called and I thought, you know, this is going to be, well, here's websites, you know, American Cancer Society can help, all the things I already knew. But the lady that answered actually had just hung up with a woman out of Cleveland, and they had worked together and found a program called Partnership for Families in the Cleveland area. And she said, I don't know all the details, but this may help you as well. So I got the information for that program, and I made a phone call. And it actually went to a doctor's office, which was strange. But I called the girl that answered, I talked to her for a second and kind of explained the urgency of our situation. And she said, let me put you on hold for a second. And on came the doctor. And Dr. James Goldfarb, who is a renowned fertility specialist in the area, in the nation really, was the kindest man on the other end of that phone. And he asked very brief questions. I mean, I think the qualifiers were like making under $120,000 a year.
Check.
And, and having cancer. And that was pretty much it. And so we talked about time frame, and he said, can you get here this week? And away we went. And we were able to start the process, and they mailed the medication to me from the pharmacy up there, which was amazing. And the clinic in Westerville agreed to work with me so I could go there for my ultrasounds instead of driving all the way to Cleveland. So once we got the okay, we went for our retrieval, and we were able to freeze 10 embryos to be used at a later date. So that was good. And then I was able to go into my transplant knowing, okay, now not only do I have Cooper, but I have the potential for a future to live for.
So what's kind of the odds on that? Just, I don't know if you remember.
Of what part?
The 10 embryos as far as what, like how many?
They were optimistic with the number.
Yeah, I think they collected 15.
And then they free or grow for a week, whatever. That sounds really morbid, but yeah. They grow for a week and 10 survived of the 15. Okay.
So oddly enough, funny story, we had to give her hormone shots. And her first shot was in the parking lot of the Hartford Fair. So I don't know how that probably looked to a bunch of people with me, you know, trying to give her a shot on the passenger side of the car. So.
So you battle with cancer. How did the battle with cancer kind of go? Maybe speak to that, and then the next steps is really how your family grew. Yeah.
So the stem cell transplant itself required treatment at the James. At that point, I was sent to the James to continue care. And Licking Memorial continued to stay in the loop, and anything that could be done here was done here, anything that needed to be done at the James, and they were wonderful to consult back and forth. And I've said many times throughout this process that a lot of times you find an ego in medicine, and at no point in this process did I find that. Mm-hmm. I had humble doctors that were willing to work with us and willing to go out of their way sometimes to make sure, and I just think that that was a blessing because that was one relief from the entire process that I didn't have to worry about because I knew there was no agenda on the table, and everyone's goal was to make me well. So I went in for transplant November 2009, and I was there 21 days.
19.
Well, 21 with the 24-hour chemo.
Details.
And so at that point, I was quarantined from Cooper, which was hard because that's a big time in a toddler's life. You know, the walking and talking and all that is occurring. And I would Skype him, but oftentimes I was so sick that I couldn't even really put together a functional sentence, and it would kind of scare him more than anything. So my goal at that point was to just get well and then get home and be mommy. There were times during that, and I've written in my caring bridge, there were times where I was just like, please just let me die. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible process. But then one day I woke up and it was like a switch. And the nurses were so wonderful because they would tell you, you know, tomorrow you're going to feel even worse than today. And I'm like, this is not possible. But the day they said, tomorrow you'll wake up and you'll feel new again. And that's exactly what happened. So once that happened, I was about a week maybe to learn to eat again and get the strength to walk, and my numbers went up, and so then I was home.
Not think I set you on fire.
Yeah, I was having major hallucinations from the medication. So. It was a wild time, but we reflect back. Adrian kept a journal during this time. He was able to be at my bedside the entire time and stay in the room And so we reflect back on that and kind of can chuckle at certain moments or certain things that I said that I don't recall, which is why I'm looking to him a lot, because I don't remember a lot of it. But and to also feel so grateful for where we are now versus what was happening in that time and how low we felt in that time. And to just say, you know, we did it. We did it together, and we, you know, here we are today. So.
You went through that, and then next kind of comes a family different, right? And now just to just throw this out there, today's Mother's Day, so we put most of our guys and our volunteer serve team, guys are backing kids. Now, I did not tell our toddler teachers that we have a set of triplets coming, but that was just a surprise for them. But it was a surprise for you as well, though. So kind of talk through the whole process of triplets.
So once we got the all clear in, was it 2011?
Yeah, it was two years in December, 2011.
We got the all clear, and our first phone call was for the fertility specialist, saying, okay, I've been given the all clear. We know we want more children. Let's get it started.
And she called on the way home from the James.
On the way home, yeah. So we started that process. And my doctor is... I'm sure everyone is different, but ours, basically, they thaw embryos in pairs. And you have the choice of using both or using one. But they do that so that you have more options for viability purposes. So we implanted our first two, and they were unsuccessful. And then we tried again, and it was unsuccessful. And so now at this point, I'm saying, okay, we have 10 chances, two at a time. If this is going to work, it needs to work. Maybe it's too soon. Maybe we should wait. But one thing that I've learned through this process is I don't sweat the little stuff anymore, and I certainly don't take any day for granted. So waiting was just not an option for me because I had waited so long to do everything else, and I had had so many roadblocks with being a first-time mom that I was going to get this going. So we implanted 5 and 6 in
April.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Late
spring.
March.
Yeah.
Late March of 2012.
And we continued to monitor, and my levels were raising higher and higher. And we went for our first ultrasound, and the ultrasound tech was, you know, looking around for a while, and then she said, please explain to me what it was that you did. And so we went through the process, and I was very defeated already. I just thought, you know, there's no heartbeat. She's not seeing anything. And then she said, there's three. You put two in and there's three. And I'm like, well, that's not possible because we put two in. And then there were three viable heartbeats. There was a fourth heartbeat that Cooper is reminding me of that we did lose. But we knew that from the start. So both embryos had split, but three babies survived. So then we had the triplets in November of 2012, and they were all home by Christmas, which was great. They were in the NICU for just a few short weeks, which was amazing compared to a lot of the babies around them. So here we are with triplets.
Cool. And you guys' story is incredible, too. So, I mean, we definitely want to thank you for that. Just I think you could see that God was doing some amazing things, and through that, yet two, but yet three. Mm-hmm. That's a God thing. That's, I don't know if the math works out, but I'm just going to say that that's greater, right?
Yeah.
So, we'll go through this. So, and like you kind of hit on this, but maybe what's the best thing you've experienced as a mom?
I will say everything now is the best because there was a point, and I've written about this as well, where I was questioning seeing Cooper graduate high school or go to preschool. So now just the little joys are the best, and being a mom in abundance is amazing. What else is the best? Being exhausted every night is amazing.
So go through your story. I mean, you kind of talked a lot about the worst, but maybe what's the worst thing you experienced, or what are some tough things that you've experienced as well?
I will say that the worst thing we experience are the comments from people that have no idea.
Was it Hobby Lobby?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's had an experience. We get a lot of awkward looks just because it looks like a circus when we're walking around anyway. But just some of the comments. She had a woman specifically at a store tell her, look at her in the line. I wasn't there. But the woman looked at her and said, "Why? I can't have one baby. Why do you get to have three?" And then just kind of walked away. So,
sorry. There is a lot of guilt. There is a lot of guilt that comes with having multiple babies and successful fertility. But I, you know, my advice to everyone would be to not judge a book by its cover. You know, Hollywood has glamorized multiples and gender choosing and things like that. And you don't always know somebody's background.
I think that's so good, because I think, I mean, even through the series and what we talked about, you hit on right on the head, we're talking about greater. But the road to greater is never easy. It's never simple. It's never comfortable. And nobody knows what anybody's gone through it. So if the Hobby Lobby lady is listening on, like, here or podcast, hey, listen, we operate with grace and we understand that things happen. But we've all go through stories. We all go through things. And I think that, I mean, God uses those to really develop us. And I think a lot of times everybody gets developed in a different way. And nobody knows that. And this is why it's incredible where we can share stories. And this is what it's all about. Like, man, this is just a great opportunity, Mother's Day, where you guys get to share with us. But together, as a church, we have the opportunity to share our stories with others. I know I'm getting encouraged right now, and hopefully you are too, but your story can do the same for others. Because God uses whatever part of your story to take you to a greater. And you just have to realize that, and understand that, and learn from it, and then learn from others as well. So, cool, Adrian, we're going to talk to you real quick, and just tell us maybe what's been the hardest part of really this whole journey?
For me personally, just, I can't fix anything. That's, you know, I grew up somewhat with a single mom. My dad was around, but I was always the person that was leaned on at home. And then, you know, with her first bout of cancer, I took care of her. I took care of, you know, Cooper. So just knowing there's nothing I can do. I'm just along for the ride. I think the worst part is probably seeing the guilt that she, I think still feels every day. She made a really good friend while she was there, was actually in the room right next to her. Her name is Nikki. Nikki was a lot younger than Katie, went through a lot more treatments and didn't make the fight. She passed away a few years ago. Cooper has a teddy bear that Nikki gave to Katie while they were in for transplant.
Yeah, we never were able to meet, but we would write notes back and forth and share gifts, and then we were able to meet close to my last day there in the hallway. We passed each other.
Yeah. And then we drove out and met her in person a couple years later in between Nikki's treatments, but just seeing the guilt sometimes that Katie feels, you know, it's hard to see her kind of question why she's here sometimes. But at the same time, I think she struggles because she thinks she's on borrowed time. I think we're on the time that we have. Yeah. So she kind of beats herself up some days, and all the moms are probably the same way, thinking everything has to be done completely perfect. So, and that's not the case. He doesn't care if the food's a little bit cold. The boys don't care if the house is a little bit messy. So that's, you know, that's kind of been my hardest part, is watching her struggle with the guilt, knowing that there's really nothing at all that I can do but exactly what I've been doing and just staying supportive. But being a father, that's not hard.
Dude, that's so good, though, because I think we all deal with that guilt. I think so many of us can relate with us. Your story is different, but we all have that guilt, and we all have the same thing. Like, we may be in a place in our lives where we can't fix it. And that's okay. It's just a matter of trusting. It's a matter of moving on as well.
And I will say, just real quick, one thing that I turned my energy into, I did run a boutique at the hospital for a short period of time that offered wigs and different items for cancer patients. And I will say that that was a huge healing process for me because it allowed women, men, everyone to come in, and most cried and shared their story with me and asked me if they were going to be okay. And you know, I would never lied to anyone. Everyone's journey is different with cancer, and many of you in this room know not everyone is okay. But I would tell them my story, and I would say, it is what you make of it. I mean, I would have people come in so defeated and so negative, and I would just try to uplift them. And I just want to encourage everyone, your struggle is your struggle. And there would be times where I would people would say, you have so much going on, I can't even talk to you about it. How selfish of me. And I would just say, you have everything in your life for a reason. I have what I have in my life for a reason. I'm here with a listening ear. You know, you don't have to put blinders on with your situation just because mine may seem greater, because it's not. Your struggle is your personal struggle. So I encourage you to, you know, if you are going through something or you have something that you can share with others, to just figure out an outlet to do that. Because, you know, Adrian often struggled as a caretaker. I mean, he heard a million times a day when I was in for treatment, "How's Katie?" And he would get to the point where he would tell me, "I feel guilty, but nobody ever asks about me. I'm exhausted." And so I just encourage you to look at your situation and figure out the positive in the most negative time. And, you know, take it each day at a time and not underestimate your struggle just because somebody else may have something different going on.
So that was super encouraging for us. Like, what was probably the most encouraging thing for you guys during your...
I think the community really supported us and rallied around us. We had ties with our church. We had ties with State Farm at that time. Childhood friends came out of the woodwork. And everyone was just kind of behind us. So it gave us that extra kick that people knew that we could do it and we could get through it and they were going to be there right beside us with it. And so I think for me that was the biggest thing, because then at that point it was like, you know, if everybody believes in me this much, I need to get out of this slump and, you know, kick my butt into gear.
Mine was a little bit different. I relied on people for help, but I really didn't, it sounds bad, but I really didn't care about anybody else but who was in my house. So, I mean, my encouragement, honestly, came from Katie. She's stubborn. You know that. you spend a lot of time with somebody, you build a relationship with someone, you get married. You think you know every little bit and piece of them. There was a side of Katie that I had never seen in my life, and that was just the fight that she had in her going through everything. So that's, you know, that's where I looked for my encouragement. If I, you know, like she said, I would have days where I'm like, man, I'm just exhausted, and all everybody asks about is, how's Katie? How are the kids? How's Cooper? I would just look to her because I didn't hear a complaint through the whole situation. Even when she was in for her transplant, not one complaint. There were, you know, there's things that she personally thought about, which she shared with you, that I didn't find out until maybe like a couple years ago. You know, with, you know, she talks about having to talk with herself in the shower when she was at the hospital. So that's, you know, my encouragement just came from her and knowing that she was fighting that hard, that it makes my side of things that much easier. So
we'll kind of wrap this up, but we're going to go into just kind of what the future is. So what does Greater look like you for now, like coming up here? So tell us a little bit about kind of your future careers and kind of your future family and extended family as well. So start with careers and then we'll go.
When all of this occurred, things happened how they happened, and I ended up losing my job at State Farm. And, well, I walked away from my job at State Farm with encouragement. But that was okay, because that was kind of the push I needed, because I had already missed so much time with Cooper that going to work every day just became such a waste to me, because it wasn't something that I had my heart in. So at that point, I became a stay-at-home mommy for a while, and Adrian continued to work at State Farm, and I opened the boutique, and I was able to spend some time there until I had the triplets, and then I relied on volunteer help. Now, and with encouragement, Adrian is actually in school at Ohio State to obtain his nurse practitioner license. And one thing that has come from this, we don't waste a day. And seeing him go to work every day and not be fulfilled led me to find a career that I could do from home and still be a mommy. So I'm a recruiter for a Nazarene university based out of Nashville, Trevecca Nazarene, if anybody's looking. And I'm able to be mommy and work to support him in school, the way he supported me with leaving State Farm and staying home. So right now we're in the middle of nursing school, which is a trying time, but I've never seen Adrian happier. And I know that this is the path that this big roundabout way has led us back to. And I do real estate on the side, but my passion has become the recruitment with the Christian education. And for the future, December, I went in to have sinus surgery. As you can tell, I can barely breathe. My nurse came in. I could tell her hair was just growing back in. She had a port scar just like me. And so we started talking. And she had just finished her breast cancer treatment. And we were providing her information on the fertility specialist, because she would need to go through that. He had his laptop out. And they were getting me ready in pre-op, going through my chemo medication history just for the anesthesia purposes. And that's when she said, oh, I have to run and check your urine just to make sure you're not pregnant, which, you know, I can't get pregnant. So that's okay, go check it. And she said, wouldn't that be a Christmas miracle? Well, 10 minutes later, I found out I was pregnant. So baby number 5 is on the way.
It's a boy.
So that's kind of been, we're starting over now. We do have embryos left, and we've often debated what to do, to do with them. But God made the decision that we didn't need to debate that issue anymore. And so I'm due in August, and I say July. But because my cycle isn't normal, we have no idea. I feel July.
It has to be after August 3rd, because that's when my finals are.
So that's the future for us, is building a bedroom for Cooper in our humble little ranch, and figuring out the future with 5 crazy boys. But I couldn't be happier. And, you know, although it was news that was hard to swallow and hard to adjust to, because it wasn't our plan, I've learned to let that go and know that it's never our plan. So this is where we are.
Cool. Well, if the band's going to come up, our one last question for you is, obviously you're going to be a family with 5 boys, so I think it's pretty clear how we can pray for you in that way. Yeah. But how else can we pray for you before we...
Health.
Health.
Continued health.
Obviously continued health. And I think the biggest thing for me is... I'm not a super structured mom by any means. I have to be flexible, because it's not just me that we're worried about here. But to just remind us that it isn't our plan and it isn't on our time. And Adrian had kind of touched on sometimes there's so much focus on being perfect. And this is for everybody. With social media and everything, I think we get caught up in other people's highlight reels so much that we start to doubt ourselves. And I just pray that, every mom out here feels that they're enough and don't go judged off of the social media post that your house is dirty. And as somebody else is always has an immaculate living room or has these craft projects, because I often get wrapped up in that. So I think just for us to be content with where our path is leading would be the biggest prayer.
Well, cool. What we want to do is we want to pray for them. So at your seat, if you want to, just extend your hand. What that means, it might be weird if you feel comfortable with it, but that's really just a form of an encouragement to them. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray for the Liebes family. And I would say, too, write that down and continue to pray for them as well. I know we're in May right now. It's June. And then coming in July, remember the Liebes family, as July is a tough month, too, that we can lift them up, encourage them, and they know that, man, we have their backs. We're behind them. We're ready for it. So, hey, let's pray for the Liebes family and go from there. But dearly Father God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for working greater in our lives, and we thank you for working greater in the Liebes family, God. God, we thank you so much just for what you're doing. God, a family of five boys. And it's so incredible that what you do. And God, we pray that you'll be with them. We pray that you will guide them as they become parents to five boys. We pray that you'll be with Katie throughout the rest of this pregnancy, God. God, I pray that you will give her health. I pray that you'll give Adrian health as he's finishing up his nurse practitioner school as well. God, I pray that you put a blessing on them as they share their stories to encourage others. God, I pray that you continue to bless and pour out blessings on them. God, I pray that you will be with them and just help them be content. God, the highlight reel that we see of everybody else, God, it's not real. Because you're working things through us and in us so that you can take us to a place that we could never even imagine. And God, we thank you for just for the Liebes family, for just being able to see just some of what you're already doing in their lives. And God, I pray that it leads to us doing an inward reflection of how you're working in our lives as well. God, we thank you for them. We thank you for their ability and their willingness to share their story. And God, we love you and we lift them up and we pray that they walk out of here just encouraged and different because of you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Well, hey, let's give the Liebes family a round of applause as they... at what you're going through. And I think it does some incredible stuff. Again, John 14:12, it says, I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do the same thing that I do. Those who believe will do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father. So let me ask you, as we close, where are you in your journey to greater? Maybe something you heard you can relate to. Maybe it's not cancer. Maybe it's some struggle that you're going through that, man, you don't want to even share with others, but you know you need to because you want that encouragement. Wherever you're at, allow God to work through. And maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you do, but you've walked away. I want to challenge you to make that commitment today. I want to challenge you to take this and realize that God has greater things, greater plans for you. Whatever your struggle is right now, it's just part of the path to go to grace. And if you're here today and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, but you want to, or maybe you're here but you've walked away and you want to do that, I want to give you that opportunity. So if you would just pull out your response card. On that response card, the first box there, it says, I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus. If that's you, check mark that box. And then in that second box, it says, God's asking me to do something. Maybe God's asking you to encourage somebody else. Maybe God's simply asking you to ask for encouragement through what you're going through. Whatever that is, write that down. And then live that out as well. And there's a place for prayer requests as well. If you would take this time just to respond, to reflect on the story you've heard, and just... or take this time to respond and apply it to your life as well. And then I'll be up just in a minute to explain the next step.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.